matter where you are, you are being watched. In today's world, no one is off the grid. Existing in the modern world has been forever changed. What's out there?
What's out there?
Most people don't want to know, but you are about to get clued in. This is Patriot Games.
Patriot Games.
We'll explore different intelligence, techniques, spycraft, and the latest cutting-edge technology that will blow your mind. We'll introduce you to pros who've spent careers in the intel community with incredible stories. We'll expose it all. Welcome to Patriot Games. And now your host, Greg Phillips.
Greg Phillips, welcome back to Patriot Games. I have a very special show tonight with a very special guest. His name is Sam Phillips. He is my grandson. For those of you who follow me on Truth Social, you no doubt have seen many of my posts about Sam and follow along with him and his sports activities and things that I call games Sam plays and Sam doing Sam things. Well, Sam's going to join us today on the podcast, and we are going to do some of those things with Sam. He's a great kid, a great young man. It's been brought to our attention that friends out in California, the Barnes family, especially Eli, a 12-year-old young man, is sick. He has cancer and is being treated at a hospital at UC Davis. The family wanted to be able to get him draw blood for his condition, and they wanted to be able to give it to him directly. But to do that, inexplicably, the Red Cross requires $25,000 for a directed donation, and he's going to have about four of them. So while many of the treatments and much of what Eli's going through are being treated by chemotherapy and all of the things that you have to do when you have this kind of advanced situation, it's this blood situation and having to come up with $100,000, which is quite difficult. So Sam has agreed to come on and encourage everyone to consider donating to our friend Eli Barnes. So anyway, hope you enjoy the show, and thanks so much for your kindness, support. And if there's anything you can do to support Eli, we're putting a Give, Send, Go link down in the description. We'll also put it in the comments. We appreciate your support and your help of this young man. Thanks so much. Sam, thanks for coming in on your spring break, right?
Yeah.
Where'd you come back from?
The Gulf Shores.
Gulf Shores, you have fun?
Yeah.
Who'd you go with?
My friend Rex from my baseball team.
Y'all came straight from baseball last weekend, right?
Yeah, from Nashville to Gulf Shores, like a 7-hour drive.
You won the championship?
Yes, sir.
How'd you do?
Good, won MVP pitcher. Had like a batting average of 500.
So you play on a team that is, I think you guys have won like 150 games and lost 15 since you've been playing there, which is crazy. I mean, at any age, any sport, anywhere across multiple years to be that many wins, and that winning percentage is really extraordinary. It's like 87% winning. And that's just huge. I mean, I think that's better than even Saban and than others. So,
really?
Yeah, it's really pretty extraordinary. What do you think the secret to the Vipers' success is?
Try hard, don't give up, and be a team player.
So, does Coach Dusty talk about that all the time? Are those the things he talks about?
Yes, sir.
What makes you guys different than everybody else? I mean, you've obviously got talented kids, but what else?
We play as a team. We work as a team. We think as a team. If someone gets down, like, you go down with them.
You had a little bit of adversity that you faced the first of the year. You guys went out to a tournament out in Houston. But I think one of the things that impressed me most, Sam, about you was that after that situation, you really came back, and even the team too, but you in particular, the next time you pitched, really came back and did. What do you think about, like, when you're having a tough time out on the mound or after you've had a tough time and you come in, you sit down, what's going through your head?
I just try to forget what just happened if it was bad. And, like, if it's good, I'll just, like, try to do it again. Like, whatever works for me that inning or game, like, try to do it again the next. There's nothing you can't do.
What does it say?
There's nothing you can't do. It's a Bible verse.
That's awesome.
I also have John 3:16. Right here. Oh, shoot. We'll be right back.
So you've got John 3:16, and then what's the other one?
50-4-13. Through God, there's nothing you can't do.
One of JD's friends that he grew up with and played with, Davis Daniel, now pitching for the Angels, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
In MLB. But you had a chance to work with him some this offseason. So, first of all, what was that like? Was that cool?
Yeah. Davis is my favorite MLB player.
Davis is?
One of my favorite MLB players.
That's awesome. So, what did you learn from Davis? What did he teach you?
He taught me how to throw faster, how to be under control, how to throw more strikes.
Didn't he talk to you a little bit about, like, how to think through things? And, like, if you're, say, throwing everything, you know, low and out, how to fix that?
Yeah. First, you work on your, like, where you're looking. If you're aiming high, you're throwing high. Change that to, like, get middle, like, catcher's mitt. Or if, like, there is no, if there is not, like, if the catcher doesn't have his, like, mitt up, just, like, aim chest. And if you're missing outside and away, try to bring it in. So, like, middle left if you're aiming middle right. And if that's not working, like, change your arm slot. Like, if you're releasing here and it's going straight down, start here, like, release here, and it'll go, like, where you want it.
You know, Sam, the things you're talking about, I mean, there are things that I learned as I got older. But, I mean, one of the cool things about having this chance to work with Davis and really, you know, learn skills that MLB guys are using, that's going to be super meaningful to you in your career. But I can pretty safely say that very few 10-year-olds have had that opportunity. You think made a difference so far this year?
Yeah. Davis is just, like, simple. He explains stuff easily. Like, my past pitching coaches, they haven't been able to do that. Like, they've been, like, rushing me through stuff that I've learned or, like, I'm going to learn in, like, high school or college. But, yeah.
Well, that's exactly right. So I know you love baseball, and you're having a great year so far this year. And your ERA is coming down. Another few innings this week with no earned runs. I think you gave up two hits. It's pretty impressive. What is it about baseball that makes it your favorite?
Just, like, the rush. Like, being under control. I like being a pitcher. When you're ready, everyone's ready. I like being a starter because you're the person who starts and, like, you're basically, you shut down the first three batters or, like, let your defense do a little work. I like just, like, shutting them down. I think it's fun.
Well, it's a great way to start the game. I mean, and you know, the pitcher controls the game, and the pitcher controls the cadence of the game and how fast you pitch or how slow you pitch. You can really change that up. I mean, do you think about those things while you're out on the mound?
No, not really. I just think of, like, throwing strikes and, like, throwing it hard a little bit.
So one of the nastiest pitches you have is pretty impossible to hit. So tell me about your pitch selection. What do you have?
I have a four-seam and two-seam grip as a fastball. I have a changeup, which is, like, you put your ring finger and your middle finger on the two laces. That same, like this. I grip it like this. And then you throw the ball inside. And it kind of, like, it's hard to control. Like, I haven't really found out the way it moves yet, but, like, because I just started, like, throwing it the way.
So about what speed is your changeup?
50 and 49.
And then your fastball these days is?
63, 64.
That's pretty impressive for a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
So what else you have? What's the nastiest pitch you have?
I have like a curveball, but like.
Let's tell you right now, there are parents everywhere that hear you say those words, and they're like flipping out, like, wait, what? You're letting a 10-year-old throw a curveball? So let's talk about it. It's not exactly, it's not thrown like people would think a curveball would be, where you got a lot of snap.
Yeah, you don't twist. You grab it like this, and you throw it like that.
So it's the same basic motion.
Yeah, you still spin.
And you're kind of locking up?
Yeah. I also have a cutter.
The cutter, I mean.
It's nasty.
Yeah, it's sick.
If you have a right-hander and you throw it on their back foot, it's basically impossible to hit. But if it's a lefty up, you have to throw it at them, and it kind of like it's high and it goes like curves and like down the middle and low.
So who calls your games? Who calls the pitches?
My catcher, my coach. I wish I could call him.
Your coach?
One of the questions that one of the followers on Truth Social, somebody that follows you and follows me, asked me to ask you was about your eye black. So you have two basic eye black frame or setups. You got the one that's more of a kind of an upside down giant, like a arrowhead or something. I don't know, like a upside down triangle. And then you have another one that's more like a cross. So what makes you decide to do them differently? And what, tell me why you, this past weekend, why you did what you did?
This past weekend, I did the cross because it was Palm Sunday. And I just thought it'd be like a good one to do. And I sometimes don't do the cross because it's too skinny. Like, and it's like really bright. I won't wear it. I won't do it because, like, I'll wear glasses and it looks like a big long stick.
Like, so, would the glasses cross over the cross, or would they cover a part of the cross? I mean, this looks like a line.
Yeah.
I
do the triangle because I saw another person do it and I'm like, oh, that looks cool. So, I started doing it.
I think Tua was the first one that I ever saw do.
Yeah. I saw Max Clark.
Max Clark?
Yeah. He is a Vanderbilt commit in the first round draft for Detroit Tigers.
So what's it like to be on a team that one of the things I worry about a little bit for you is that you win too much. I mean, whether it's football, you guys went undefeated. I think last year you lost one or two games. Baseball, you guys hardly ever lose. I mean, I worry about you that you're winning too much.
I guess I'm just like used to it. I'm not used to win. I'm not used to losing. So. Like, it doesn't matter if it's, like, wiffle ball or backyard baseball. I want to win. Like, I'll do whatever it takes.
That's not a bad thing. You do need to learn how to lose without tears. But there's no crying in baseball.
Yeah, I don't cry. I used to cry. Dusty started, if you're going to cry, leave. Like, just get out of the dugout. So, it ruins. Like, if one person cries, and like because of a strikeout, the other people get emotional, or like you're like, oh, that guy's out. So like, what are we gonna do now?
What's your mindset like when you're out on the mound and let's say you're facing adversity, right? Let's say you gave up a big hit or gave up a couple of runs and you're not throwing strikes. I mean, one of the challenges I used to have when I was playing was I was a little wild. And so my first year pitching in high school, I was in 10th grade, and I was literally pitching a no-hitter. Mm-hmm. But I had walked seven guys. And my coach, Coach Lewis, came out to the mound in the last inning. And now I'm pitching a no-hitter, right?
Yeah.
And I wanted to finish the game because I wanted the no-hitter. I mean, I was a 10th grader, and I was playing against, you know, older kids. And he came out to the mound and said, if you walk one more, I'm taking you out. And I remember thinking, yeah, right. You're not going to take me out. I'm pitching a no-hitter, man. And sure enough, I walked the next guy, and he came out and got me and pulled me out. So what's your mindset like when you're struggling? I mean, what do you think about? Like, if you, let's say you walk a couple, I think a couple of weeks ago you hit a couple of kids, and it was last weekend. You yeah. loaded the bases first inning, then struck out the side. What's in your mind when you think about when you have bases loaded, nobody out, the beginning of the game, you're not really throwing strikes? What did you think about to bring yourself back around?
Be calm. Don't rush. Because, like, everything's on your side. Just try your hardest. If it's not going your way, you can, like, always, like, just step off, take a breath, or, like, call time. Like, get the catcher to come to you. Like, tell him what's happening. Tell him to, like, slow down. I think it was in Houston. I gave up 2 home runs. All of them, like, right when they hit the home run, I asked for a ball. Because, like, I didn't want to just stare at it. Like, stare at the ball leaving. I just kind of, like, asked the ball from the umpire and got on the mound. By the time I was on the mound with the ball, he was rounding second. And didn't look at him. I took a breather. Like, that was, like, a little time I had.
Well, I think all the parents were shocked just because the kids were so, I mean, the kids were like my height. I mean, these kids are like 6'2", you know, 200 pounds, right?
Yeah. They also had a horn, which was very annoying. Like, there was just two. When I hit, like, a triple, I think, that silenced the crowd, definitely.
So, yeah, I think that's right. So, I know you love baseball, and you're obviously pretty good at it, and I think you have a huge career in it if you want that. But you're also pretty good in football.
I love football. Football is just fun. I love winning. I think the team's not going to be as good as we were last year, but it's going to be – it's always challenging. Like, I love my offensive coordinator. He calls, like, perfect plays. My favorite plays are passing. Go to the thing.
Spoken like a true quarterback.
Yeah. I just love, like, letting go of the ball. I love throwing deep ones. Like, especially, like, when they're, like, in the basket. That's just the best feeling ever.
I think what surprises people when, you know, for a 9 or 10-year-old to be able to toss the ball like you do is – it's pretty impressive. Is your mindset different in football as a quarterback than it is in baseball as a pitcher, or do you use some of the same mental tools?
I use some of the same mental tools, like take a breath. Like in football, like when you're on the sidelines, I kind of like sit down on the bench, or I'll like cheer on the team. If like when you get an interception, it's not the greatest feeling. But you kind of got to overcome that and, like, be better next time when you get onto the field.
Yeah, one of the things, Sam, it's easy to see as an adult and much harder to see as a kid because, you know, your experience is, you know, what you have. And you've only been alive for 10 years. But your experiences athletically go well beyond what anyone my age could even imagine. I mean, you guys have traveled all over the place. You've won incredible number of games. You win the football championship. You win the baseball championship. And I think that you know, one of the things, I know your parents, you know, worry about you and your health and your arm. I think your dad's done a great job of starting to get you into the workout room and that kind of stuff. I mean, that's real dedication for a 10-year-old. Is that something that you've experienced in other 10-year-olds, or are you doing something different than other kids are doing?
I guess, like, I try harder than those 10-year-olds. Like, I give them my all. Like, I love the game. Like, if there wasn't baseball, I wouldn't know what I was going to do.
You wouldn't know what to do?
I guess I would play football, but, like, if there wasn't football or baseball.
Well, I think part of that's a respect for the game. and you respect the game, and that's critically important as you grow up. And really, you know, at some point it always ends, right? Whether you're Davis's age and, you know, he's going to get 5 or 6 years probably as a pitcher in MLB. Some kids, it ends when they're in college. Some kids, it ends when they're starting in high school. Eventually it will end. So, I mean, but it's the lessons that I think that you take away from team sports that really make a difference. One of the things that I meant to pull out was your goals that you set last year during football. Some of them were specific, but some of them were specific to the team. And so I think that you're growing up and you're learning things that many kids didn't learn. You know, when your uncle JD went to IMG and played baseball, one of the things that they made him do was go to a class called mental conditioning. And what they did in mental conditioning, it was taught by a guy that I think does this for the Boston Red Sox now, a guy named Justin Sua. And what they really tried to get the kids to really understand are a lot of the things that I'm hearing from you now, right? Like, slow down, breathe. You know, if you make a mistake, just forget it and move on. You know, the kind of things that you're talking about. But I think you're growing up beyond your years. So let's skip sports for a few minutes. Let's talk about school. So if you're like most fourth graders, you're probably going to say, I hate school.
School's fine.
All right. That's a good answer. That's probably a dad coached answer. So what's your favorite class?
Math.
How come?
It's challenging, but I love it. I like division, multiplication, addition, decimals, fractions.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
MLB player.
If you don't make it to MLB, what do you want to do? What do you want your college experience to be?
Vanderbilt.
You want to go to Vanderbilt?
Because they have a good, like, I like the baseball facility. They have good coaching. They have good grades. Like, everyone on their team has, like,
A's. Their academics?
Yes. Their academics is very good.
Well, what do you want to study? What do you want to learn about in college?
I like to study rocks.
You like to study rocks? So geology?
Yeah.
Well, geology is cool.
Yeah, I also like dinosaurs.
You like dinosaurs?
Yeah, dinosaurs are cool.
Anthropology, geology? If Vandy craps out, you can always go to Alabama. We have great, both of those programs are great. Well, that's very cool. So I'm going to ask you the dreaded girl question. What's up with the girls?
Girls are a lot these days.
They're a lot to worry about.
Yeah, a lot of drama.
A lot of drama?
At my school.
I'm pretty sure that's been around for a while.
True, but it's worse.
It's worse now?
Yeah.
What makes you say that?
They talk a lot about each other behind their back.
They talk a lot about each other?
Yeah. I like the simple ones that, like, don't get worried about, like, a lot.
Let's see. What else can we talk? Let's talk about Hollis.
Hollis.
So you have a little sister, my granddaughter, and so if you say anything ugly about her, I'm going to punch you.
No, please.
You have a great little sister. A lot of boys don't have good little sisters, but you have a great little sister. Yeah. She goes to every single one of your games. I mean, she has sat through more baseball. She's sat through like 200 baseball games already because she loves you.
My sister is the best. She's also crazy.
She's not really crazy.
She's not crazy. She's not like crazy. She's like goofy.
She knows how to get under your skin.
Yes. Yes. She loves sports like tennis. While we were at the beach, we were playing wiffle ball. We needed one more player, so we played with my sister. We were throwing soft toss because, like, we thought we had to go easy. We were using, like, this racket thing, and it had, like, a big barrel. It was basically like a tennis racket, and, like, she can hit the tennis ball far. And, like, first pitch, like, went into the ocean.
Hollis hit first pitch into the ocean?
Yeah.
Nice.
It is insane. Like, everyone was hyped.
So her team won the basketball championship this year?
Oh, yeah. Hollis, it's her first year playing, so, like, I didn't expect it to be, like, real good, but, like, she's good. She's good on defense. She misses a couple shots in offense, but, like, We haven't really worked on her with that yet, but like, she made me want to play basketball.
So let's skip over and let's talk about politics. So who do you think ought to be the president?
Donald Trump.
Why?
Donald Trump's the GOAT.
He's the GOAT?
Yeah.
So what do you think, why do you think America needs somebody like President Trump?
Because he knows how to be a leader. He's obviously done this before. He's a nice guy, sometimes.
What about Biden?
Biden annoys me. I mean...
He annoys you?
Yeah, he's a good man. Like, I like him.
But you just think President Trump would be better for America?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Let's talk a little bit about church. I posted the video of you speaking when you guys did the play this year.
Yeah.
The Christmas play. I posted the video and like thousands of people liked it and whatnot. So one of the things people don't know about you is that you and your sister pray every single night.
Yeah.
Is that something that you don't even think about it anymore, right? I mean, that's just something that's become part of your life.
Yeah, routine.
Routine.
Yeah.
What's the most important thing what you're learning about your faith?
I mean, God is good. Nothing else. It's coming up close to Easter. I've always been a big Christian, but I kind of like took it up a notch. Like, at my school, we have this thing called First Priority, which is basically every Tuesday I get to school early, and we learn like something new, and like everyone prays each day, and it's like really good. My class also prays every day before lunch. Like, I learn like a new story, like Job, Jeremiah, all the great ones. Like
Have you guys studied any of the Gospels, like you know, John and those, or have you gotten to that yet?
Yeah, we do that. We did that at Sunday school.
Sunday school.
Yeah.
So one of the things I want to talk to you a little bit about is a friend of ours. A family friend of ours out in California, a 12-year-old boy, Eli, has been sick. I talked to you about it already. And one of the things that's really inexplicable is that Eli's family has cancer, and he's got to get new blood occasionally. And one of the things that they wanted to do was be able to get blood from his family. It'd be like if you got sick, you know, your mom and dad or Hollis and, you know, everybody would in our family would want to give you blood. Well, the Red Cross that collects the blood has this crazy deal that if you want to direct it, in other words, if your dad wanted to say, I want to give my blood to Sam, the Red Cross charges $25,000 for that. And he's got to have four of them. Eli's got to have four of these. And it, you know, for adults to kind of look at that, it's like, what in the world is going on? But it also, you know, is you know, brings back some, you know, sort of big biblical thoughts. Romans 12:8 says this: giving with generosity, leading with diligence, showing mercy with cheerfulness. And I was thinking about that, knowing you were coming in today, and I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about this. And you know, well, you're going to have thousands of people watching this show, thousands. So there will be, let's just say that there were 20,000 people watch this show. If we could just get 2,000 of them, 10% of them, to give $10 or $20, we could raise enough to get one of these blood transfers paid for. So I know it's hard because, you know, you're healthy and, you know, I'm not. I've struggled with the cancers and stuff too. So, but this is something that I think is really important. And one of the things that I like most about you, Sam, is that you're thoughtful and you have diligence and you show mercy and you know, cheerfulness and all the things that were in Romans. The book of Romans was written by Paul. And so what happened was, one of the leaders of Rome, ancient Rome, basically banned Christianity from Rome, and so they basically kicked all the Christians out of Rome,
yeah,
and kicked all the Jews out of Rome, And so by the time 5 years later, when they all got to come back, things had sort of morphed and changed, and they stopped learning how to do right and how to really follow the commandments. And so he wrote these letters to Rome saying, hey, guys, you're not doing this right anymore. But if you think about that, you know, you think about, you know, giving with generosity. I want to be able to help Eli. So if I said, I want you to give some money to Eli to help pay for this blood situation that they're dealing, his family's dealing with, you think 10 bucks, would you be willing to do that?
Like 20 to 15.
20 bucks?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Well, here's what I think we ought to do, Sam. I think if you would just tell everybody that's watching, you know, and we're trying to get, let's just say we're trying to get 2,000 people to give 20 bucks. That's $40,000. Well, that'll pay for nearly two of these treatments, which would be phenomenal. Yeah. So look at the camera and ask all the adults out there to step up and help Eli.
If you can donate a couple, like 20 or whatever you can like put out, we're going to put the Give, Send, Go link below into the description so you can donate 20 bucks to Eli and his family so they could afford for his cancer treatments. That money would mean so he could be a regular boy, not have to worry about, like, just pray for him. Because we never know when it's going to be his last day. So he can have a regular life, like, do the things that he loves again. Children deserve to have a good life.
I think it's really unfair, honestly, Sam, that the Red Cross is doing this.
Yeah.
But that's an adult problem. And I think that me, Catherine, your dad, others are gonna be pretty aggressive. And, you know, Papa can be aggressive sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to be aggressive in our approach of this situation with the Red Cross. It's really just unfair, right? I mean, you got a little kid that we really just want to be able to support him and help him, you know, not just financially, but with prayer. And Sam, I hope that you and Hollis will add Eli to your prayer list at night until we get past this.
All right.
I don't know a lot of kids that have the dedication to sports that you have. I can remember when you were little, like going out, you'd be out during COVID even, I think you were in like first or second grade or something, and you were out in the garage, you know, pounding baseballs into the net. A lot of kids have been there on their video games or doing whatever, but you do that. And even this summer and in between, even this winter, you do things that not every kid does. Quarterback practice, I mean, you really train hard. So what are some of the things that you're doing that you think are making a difference in your body and how you approach the game?
I go to workouts, upper body mostly. I do sleds.
Sled's kind of lower body, though, right? Isn't sled kind of drive?
Body, yeah.
You do plyometrics and things like that? You box jumps and that kind of stuff?
Sometimes. Well, like, this winter, our team does, like, workouts, like, team workouts. We do, like, stuff for our arms. We do, we throw medicine balls at walls. We do lunges, bear crawls, a lot of stuff to, like, help our body and, like, be healthy.
So what do you do? What do you do at the gym? What are the kind of things you do at the gym? What's your least favorite thing?
My least favorite? Sleds.
Sleds are your least favorite?
Yeah.
I think bear crawls was always my least favorite.
We do bear crawls at my practice.
Well, there's few things that are more important for you than pressing that lower body and learning how to drive, and so. So sleds make a huge amount of difference, not just in football, but in baseball.
When we break it down, we say, like, win on me, win on three, one, two, three, win.
So Vipers breaks it down a little bit differently, right?
Yeah.
What's your Viper breakdown?
Dominate.
Dominate?
Yeah.
So at your workouts, it's win. With the Vipers, it's dominate. What about football?
Team.
So win, team, and dominator are your main breakdowns for your different sports and your workouts?
Yeah, we pray before each workout. We also give like a prayer request if we have anyone we want to pray for.
So maybe when you say a prayer for Eli?
Yeah.
Ask a prayer request? Sam, thanks for coming in. You have anything else you want to talk about? We didn't cover. Oh, I know what we didn't cover. We didn't cover Papa School. All right. So back during COVID, everybody that follows me knows this. Occasionally I would come over. I was actually going through cancer treatment myself at the time. I don't know if you even knew that.
I think I did.
But I would come over, and you were obviously homeschooling, and we would do Papa School. So we set up in the guest room. We set up a desk. Remember, your parents set up a desk at the table and
the whiteboard,
the whole thing, and we would do Papa School. So I was the best teacher you've ever had, right?
I mean, I don't want to be mean.
It's okay. You don't have to answer. So what was the best part about Papa School? Man, we learned so much, Sam. I let you off the hook so many times.
I mean, I like running and Papa's PT.
Papa's PT?
Yeah.
But you didn't like the push-ups?
No.
You were good at the push-ups. You just didn't like them? Because you were, what, too young?
Yeah.
But you were cranking them out, though. You know what we ought to do? We ought to create a Papa's PT for PE at school.
No. Wow, no.
So what do y'all do at PE at school?
On Mondays, we do cardio day, which is like basically like walk, catch up with your friends from the weekend. Tuesday, we have I think this month we're doing like basketball, which is like learning how to play the game. And Wednesday is like station day. We have a stage, we have a basketball court in our gym, and behind that is the stage. And on the stage, there's like workout equipment, like treadmills, that bike thing where you like pedal your feet. And there's also like yoga balls, medicine balls, and yeah.
So what do you do on Thursdays?
Same thing we did on Tuesday. And then on Friday, we do like Fun Friday. We had to run 4 laps around.
Are you the fastest?
One of them, yeah.
One of the fastest?
Yeah.
Do you dominate everything in PE?
Yeah. Like sharks and minnows.
Sharks and minnows?
Yeah, I get no mercy in sharks and minnows.
I don't know about you, Sam. So, Sam, your mom and dad really control your social media image and what gets pushed out there on you, whether it's videos or, you know, posts of all, you know, the graphics and posts of all types. But what is it you want people to know about you that they don't see in the videos or they don't see in the graphics?
I'm calm most of the times. Sometimes it's crazy. I like to have fun. I play really hard. So, like, I play really hard in the game. Like, I try my hardest in games. And, like, after the games, I go, like give them high fives, like, tell them good game. And then, like have fun with my teams afterwards sometimes. And, yeah, I basically like to have fun.
Do you consider yourself a leader on your team?
One of them, yes.
On your baseball team?
Yes.
What about football?
Yeah.
You're a leader?
Yes.
What do you think makes what's the good qualities of a leader?
Kind, stays with the team. Like, if the team's doing something bad, like, tell them not to do it. Follow the rules. And basically don't get in trouble.
That's probably right. Ask Papa some questions.
What are your thoughts on Donald Trump?
I think that that a lot of people consider President Trump, depending on what side you're listening to. I mean, a lot of people either see, you know, he can do no wrong, and other people, you know, let's see, he can do no right. I think that the Democrats and the left broadly, people on the other side, have so demonized him and so attacked him. You know, they've arrested him multiple times. We were talking about this earlier. That mugshot is really interesting because of the way he embraced that and his team embraced that, and frankly, how other people embrace it. People now look at that and say, "Wow, I mean, they did that to the former president of the country, or their way is to talk so badly about him that people might think poorly about him. But my experiences with President Trump, he is a very genuine human being. He's very kind. He's tough, but is very smart. I think he is challenged by what a lot of leaders are challenged by, and that is the people around them aren't always the best people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there were people in his first administration who really didn't have his best interest in mind. So my broad thought is that President Trump is a president for all Americans, right? He's going to do what's right for America, irrespective of what it is.
What thing are you most proud of?
Me? Your Uncle JD, your dad, Emma and Katie, your mom and Emma, and you guys. I'm proud of my family. I'm proud of who y'all are and what you are, and I'm proud that you're just such a good kid. I mean, you grow up, when you get older, Sam, and you'll realize this, that really in the end, your faith and your belief in God and your family, and friends to an extent, but your God, your family, and your country are really what you have, and you have to be willing to fight for all of them, and I'm proud of you and your sister and what you guys are growing up to be and who you're growing up to be, and just you coming in here and sitting down with me today. There's not, you know, not just every 10-year-old on the planet would come in and sit down and talk about this kind of stuff. And it's hard, but I'm proud of you guys for that, and it makes me, happy that you know my life has turned out in such a way that you know my family is something that I can be proud of.
What makes you the happiest?
What makes me the happiest?
Yeah.
I love to watch you guys play sports. I love to watch y'all play sports. I love to come to your games, whether it's football, baseball, Hollis's basketball, anything. I love watching you kids, in part because I like watching you succeed. I like watching how you deal with adversity. And I believe that team sports is one of the most important things that kids can do. And just watching you grow up in all of that and turn into the kid you are. And, you know, learning how to think through things on the mound or in the huddle or even at home or at church or anything else. I mean, you're growing up and turning into a young man that not only your mom and dad are going to be proud of, but Papa's super proud of you.
What was your most favorite sports moment?
Mine?
Yes.
Man. This will sound weird, Sammy, because I did get to play a lot of sports when I was younger. And
didn't you face like Dale Strawberry?
Yeah. My favorite moment, I think, though, Sammy, was not even about me. It was when your dad and Uncle JD were playing, and I had an enormous amount of pride in the way that they conducted themselves on the field and the way that they and now what your dad's grown up into in terms of helping you and coaching you. But my favorite sports moments are watching you and watching Hollis and watching your dad and watching Uncle JD play. I mean, those are the things I remember the most.
What's something you do over again?
What's something I would do over again?
Yeah.
Man, Sammy, I have no regrets. I would do it all over again. But I'm satisfied with what I am and who I am and what I've accomplished. And I've had great fortune in my life to work for, you know, presidents and governors and senators and those kinds of things. We've accomplished so much, and And I do it all again, but I'm satisfied with what the opportunities that God's given me, and I look forward to the coming years and watching you grow up and turn into a man and see what you become.
Thank you for including me in this podcast.
You're welcome, Sammy. I'm glad you came. Love you, bro.
Love you. Please don't forget to join Team Eli. Give Singo.
You've been listening to Patriot Games. Privacy is a thing of the past. No matter where you are, you're being watched. No one is off the grid. The intelligence community has access to technology that most Americans can't even imagine. And this show is here to expose all of it. For more info, to contact, and to stay up to date, visit the website at patriotgames.com. Until next time, keep your eyes open.